First of all, this passage is part of a bigger section of the Bible, which starts in chapter 13. It's called the Upper Room Discourse, and it starts when Jesus has washed their feet. And this second section, of which this forms a part, is about Jesus telling the disciples they're going to need to go out into the world, and they're going to be used powerfully. But what a message to tell them they're going out into the world, and then to say in 16, that nobody's going, that people are not going to want to receive you. People, it's going to be hard. People are going to reject you. It's going to be a challenging place to go, and that's a message we need to hear now in the Church of England more than ever. We know the world rejects Christianity. On May the 9th, 2014, Gareth Lee, a member of Queer Space, a gay rights advocacy group, walked into a Belfast bakery and he ordered a cake decorated with the slogan "Support Gay Marriage," along with the Sesame Street characters Bert and Ernie. We know the outcome, don't we? We know what happened in that case. We know that the Ashers were taken to court and were fined. Luckily, they have been held to have not acted illegally by the Supreme Court. But there are many Christian groups doing that. But it's not just in this country. In Islam, in the Middle East, there's a group called Al-Shabaab. They have stated that they wish to rid Somalia of all Christians. And people suspected of following the Christian faith will be killed on the spot. Many Christians in that part of the world meet in secret, or they don't meet at all, and they can't own Bibles. Many Christians fled Iraq after the fall of Saddam Hussein, and persecution escalated when Islamic State took control of parts of the country. They were effectively, Christians were exterminated. 100,000 Christians fled their homes in Mosul, in a largely Christian region. There have been public executions, killings of Christians by ISIS. In the UK, people are being non-platformed in universities because of what they say. Nurses are being sacked for offering to pray with patients. Christian parents are being told, you will be dealt with severely if you remove your children from sex education lessons in primary schools where lifestyles are incompatible with the Christian lifestyle are being taught. It's a fact. And we get shocked about it, but we shouldn't be, because what does Paul say in 2 Corinthians? He said, he comes to trust to preach the gospel of Christ. Even though the door was open to me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find Titus. And he goes on to speak. And then he says, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing, to one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. It's true, isn't it? If we're going to be authentically Christian, speak Christianly, live Christianly, we have to expect opposition. And the difficult thing for us is, we used to face it out there. Unfortunately, we're now facing it in the church. When I remember going to a chapter in Peterborough in Northampton and being told very violently by my archdeacon and her husband that because I was an evangelical and believed in the authority of the scriptures and that I would not agree certain things with her about homosexual behaviour, I was homophobic, and she told me in no uncertain terms, there is no place in God's church for people like me. And that I should give up my holy orders and I should leave the church. And it happens from clergy, but it also happens from congregation members. There's a lady who will remain nameless in my last benefice who wrote to me and said to me, you teach Jesus from the Bible. I don't like that being taught in our village, and I will destroy your ministry. And she went out of her way to do horrendous things. We used to get things, if you put up a notice in the village of a church event, within 24 hours, she would go round and take them down and tear them up and throw them in the rectory garden. We need to understand that actually, If we're going to be authentically Christian, we're going to face opposition. It's part of what happens. And it won't just be the nutter on the by the bus stop. It will be members of the church. It might even be leaders within our churches. And that's the impression we have here, isn't it? Because Jesus is speaking to this culture, and he says, actually, the people who will turn on you will throw you out of the synagogues. And they'll think they're doing the right thing. They'll think they're honouring God. Those Muslims that are killing Christians believe they are honouring God in murdering people. That lady who told me, the archdeacon who told me to leave the church, that there was no place for me in the church, deeply believed she was serving God in what she was doing. The Guardian reported Christianity as a default, as a norm, is gone. Probably gone forever. Professor Stephen Bullivant said this week, in response to figures showing a widespread rejection of Christianity among Europe's young people, Christianity is on the back foot for at least the next 100 years. We're no longer the norm. We're no longer the place people go to mark the norms of life. We are the outsiders. We're not the movers or the shakers. But what I want to try, I don't want to be long this morning, and I don't want to be miserable, and I don't want to be dark, and I don't want to be defeatist and say, oh dear, everything's terrible. I'm not, which was the one in Dad's army? The Scottish Undertaker. I'm not the Scottish Undertaker. Because although Jesus says to them, things are going to be difficult, and they're going to throw you out of the synagogues, and they're going to kill you, and they're going to think they're doing the right thing, and they're doing this because, as it says in verse 3, they don't know me, and they don't know the Father. He goes on from verse 5 to say, but we're sending you help. Stick at it, because we're sending you help, we're sending you the Holy Spirit. Now, it's really important that churches have the Holy Spirit. Tozer said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the Church of England, or from churches, 95% of what we would do would go on, and it wouldn't make any difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would have stopped, and everybody would have known the difference. That's how important the Holy Spirit is. If the Holy Spirit isn't at the centre of driving our churches, we will become overwhelmed with the rejection and the pressure, and then we will fail. We will fall and fail as churches. So we're going to see in very quickly that Jesus is sending us help. Now, it starts with the fact that he's going to the Father who sent him, and he's going to give them something which will help them in their grief. And he says in verse 7, which seems really crazy, but I tell you the truth, for it's good that I'm going away, for unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. We know, don't we, that Jesus had to go. Jesus had to go to the cross, because without him going to the cross, there couldn't be fulfillment of God's purposes, there couldn't have been salvation, and therefore the Spirit couldn't come, because there couldn't have been the birth of the church as we had it. So I'm sure the disciples are scratching their head, but we understand that. We needed Jesus to go. And when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world. Now, it's an interesting thing. We tend to think that the role of the church is to manifest the presence of God in the world. But actually, that's the role of the Holy Spirit. The primary role of the Spirit is to manifest the presence of God in the world through the church. It's not our job to do the Holy Spirit's job for him. It's hard to bear, Jesus says, this message. It's really hard to bear. But we need the power of the Spirit to convict the world. Some hooded thugs broke into a shop and they stole £5,000 worth of goods. They beat up the owner of the shop. This happened in Atherston. The shop owner, who was aged 42, challenged the gunman, but eventually they managed to beat him. Now, they picked up some young lads, and of course they denied the crime. We didn't do it. But when the CCTV was shown to them, they knew they were bound to rights. That's what's happening in the world. The world commits the sin of ignoring God, and when the Holy Spirit comes, what the Holy Spirit effectively does is he goes, here's the CCTV of your life. You know and I know that you've been ignoring God. You are bound to rights. And it's the job of the Spirit to do that. And it's quite painful for the world. Because it says, yes, I know you give to the RSPCA. And I know you don't kick cats. And I know you're nice to your neighbours. But you've ignored the most important thing in the world, which is the God who created you. I'm sorry, but you need to turn round. And that causes people to get stressed. And they get angry. But it's also important that it's not our work. We don't convict people of their sin. We share the gospel faithfully. And as we speak, the Spirit does its work. The Spirit speaks. We know from Isaiah 55 that God says that his word goes out from his mouth and it never returns empty. It accomplishes that which he intends it to do. It shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it, says God in Isaiah 55. All we're called upon to do is be faithful, because the Spirit has come in this hostile environment to do a work we couldn't possibly do. The Spirit uncovers and exposes the rebellion of the world. It's an amazing gift to the church in a time of stress and pressure. Do we have complete confidence in the Holy Spirit? That the Holy Spirit's here now, at work amongst us, challenging us, teaching us. Because it's interesting, what does the Holy Spirit come to do? It comes to show us sin and show us righteousness. It comes to confirm that the devil can't stand against it. It comes to remind people that there will be judgment. Those young hoodies, once they were banged to rights, they knew that there would be a cost to be paid for what they'd done. And when the Spirit convicts people's hearts, they're aware that there's a price to be paid. Now Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, but you can't bear it now. But then it's interesting, isn't it? Jesus says in verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will speak, he will guide you into all truth. It's a wonderful reality that when we gain the Spirit as a church, it continues the job that Jesus did. It teaches. It doesn't teach new material. There's many that argue the Spirit brings new revelation, contrary to Scripture and contrary to what Jesus said. I don't believe that at all, because Jesus says in our passage that actually nothing that the Spirit says will come directly from the Spirit. He will take everything from that which Jesus said and which God has said. He's not going to come to be new and inventive in how we understand Christianity. We don't need, as churches, to sit down and wring our hands and get stressed and say, we can't cope. The world's against us, everything seems dark, everything seems to be coming to an end, we're shrinking, we just can't do this. What we need to do is get down on our knees and seek God's Spirit to guide us into what we should be doing as a church, where we should be going. The people that we should be speaking to, we should be letting the Spirit prompt us in what we should be doing, letting the Spirit drive the mission of the church. Because that's what the Spirit's job, to tell us what is to come, it says. And if we do that, verse 14 tells us that the Spirit will bring glory to Jesus. If we're doing what the Spirit directs, it will bring glory back to God. It might not bring glory back to us, but it will bring glory back to God. Are we content with the spiritual level of power to witness in Jesus Christ? Are we happy that the Spirit is filling our lives and directing us in our mission? Very often the issue is that we've become so self-reliant that when what we plan and scheme doesn't work, we become disheartened in a world that's bound to reject the word of Jesus. How are we going to do this then? How are we practically going to take heart from the fact that the world's going to reject us and that the Spirit's come to do an amazing work through us, if we'll just let it? Well, I want to go back to some other words of Scripture that remind us to live such good lives amongst the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. This way of living is unpacked, isn't it, in the rest of the Bible. The call is, yes, they're not going to like us. They're going to find what we stand for as difficult. But we are to live good lives. We are to live good lives amongst our neighbours. We're not to be assimilated into the world's way of doing things. And we're definitely not to withdraw. When it gets tough, the risk is always that Christians circle the wagons. That door's big and heavy, and it's a protection. No, it isn't. It's a doorway that should be open, and we should be going out through it to remain in contact with the world. We need to live in contact with those in our village day by day. We need to soak up their anger. We need to soak up their frustrations. We need, as the Bible tells us, to be prepared at all times to give a good account of the things which we believe. We must be respectful and gentle. Our culture is extremely hostile, isn't it? I was out yesterday in Loughborough, and just for that split moment, I zoned out at a traffic light. You would have thought I'd killed somebody, the reaction I got from the guy behind me. The horn, the two fingers, the shouting as he drove past me. That's our culture. Our culture is aggressive. Time for us to be gentle. Time for us to show that loving and living in the Lord Jesus makes a difference. It's the hardest thing. It's the hardest thing to live in a place that isn't home. This world isn't our home. It isn't where we belong. It's a bit for us like living between the trenches, constantly under fire. But actually, that's where we're called to be. That's where we're called to be. Because we know that Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil. We know that if we just hold fast, Jesus will come again and we will be taken to glory. So the call here is to face up to reality. And it's a really tough call for the Church of England in the 21st century because we've been so used to being the people who set the moral norm, and we're not any longer. But we shouldn't be shocked at that. We should see that Jesus 2,000 years ago said that's going to happen. And it's going to come from places you don't expect. It might even be in some churches, that I wouldn't be in my church, I know that, any of them, but in some churches I know people get hostile responses to preaching the gospel from their church wardens, from their readers. That's going to be where we have to live for a little while, but only for a little while, because this isn't home. The call for us is to wake up, to remember Satan hasn't won, to seek God's Holy Spirit, to seek to follow him as closely as we possibly can, because he will give us all that we need for the mission God's called us to, which is to go into all the world and make disciples. Amen.